Maya Salovitz, formerly a television producer, now spends her time as a writer. In this essay, she explores digital reality and its consequences. Along the way, she compares the digital world to the real world, acknowledging the attractions of the electronic dimension. A Virtual Life by Maya Salovitz. After too long on the net, even a phone call can be a shock. My boyfriend's Liverpool accent suddenly becomes impossible to interpret after his easily understood words on screen. A secretary's clipped tone seems more rejecting than I'd imagined it would be. Time itself becomes fluid. Hours become minutes, or seconds stretch into days. Weekends, once a highlight of my week, are now just two ordinary days. For the last 3 years, since I stopped working as a television producer, I have done much of my work as a telecommuter. I submit articles and edit them via email and communicate with colleagues on internet mailing lists. My boyfriend lives in England, so much of our relationship is also computer-assisted. If I desired, I could stay inside for weeks without wanting anything. I can order food and manage my money, love, and work. In fact, at times, I have spent as long as 3 weeks alone at home, going out only to get mail and buy newspapers and groceries. I watched most of the endless snowstorm of '96 on TV. But after a while, life itself begins to feel unreal. I start to feel as though I've become one with my machines. Taking data in, spitting them back out, just another link in the net. Others online report the same symptoms. We start to feel an aversion to outside forms of socializing. We have become the net critic's worst nightmare. What first seemed like a luxury, crawling from bed to computer, not worrying about hair and clothes and face, has become a form of escape, a lack of discipline. And once you start replacing real human contact with cyber interaction, coming back out of the cave can be quite difficult. I find myself shyer, more cautious, more anxious. Or conversely, when suddenly confronted with real live humans, I get overexcited, speak too much, interrupt. I constantly worry if I am dressed appropriately. That perhaps I've actually forgotten to put on a skirt and walked outside in a t-shirt and underwear I sleep and live in. At times, I turn on the television and just leave it to talk away in the background, something that I've never done previously. The voices of the programs are comforting, but then I'm jarred by the commercials. I find myself sucked in by soap operas or needing to keep up with the latest news and the weather. Dateline, Frontline, Nightline, CNN, New York One, every possible angle of every story over and over and over, even when they are of no possible use to me. Work moves into the background. I decide to check my email. Online, I find myself attacking everyone in sight. I am bad-tempered and easily angered. I find everyone on my mailing list insensitive, believing that they've forgotten that there are people actually reading their wounding remarks. I don't realize that I'm projecting until after I've been embarrassed by someone who politely points out that I've attacked her for agreeing with me. When I'm in this state, I fight with my boyfriend as well, misinterpreting his intentions because of the lack of emotional cues given by our typed dialogue. The fight takes hours because the system keeps crashing. I say a line, then he does, then crash. And yet we keep on doggedly. I'd never realized how important daily routine is, dressing for work, sleeping normal hours. I'd never thought I relied so much on coworkers for company. I began to understand why long-term unemployment can be so damaging. Why life without an externally supported daily plan can lead to higher rates of drug abuse, crime, suicide. To restore balance to my life, I forced myself back into the real world. I call people, arrange to meet with the few remaining friends who haven't fled New York City. I try to at least get to the gym, so as to set apart the weekend from the rest of my week. I arrange interviews for stories, doctor's appointments, anything to get me out of the house and connected with others. But sometimes being face-to-face is too much. I see a friend, and her ringing laughter is intolerable. The noise of conversation in the restaurant, unbearable. I make my excuses and flee. I re-enter my apartment and run to the computer as though it were a place of safety. I click on the modem. The once annoying sound of the connection now as pleasant as my favorite tune. I enter my password. The real world disappears. Language sense enhancement. Read aloud the following poem.
Happily addicted to the web. Doorbell rings. I'm not listening. From my mouth, drool is glistening. I'm happy, although my parents are not. Happily addicted to the web. All night long, I sit clicking, unaware time is ticking. There's a beard on my cheek. Some clothes for a week. Happily addicted to the web. Friends come by. They shake me, saying, "Yo, man, don't you know tonight's senior prom?" With a shrug, I replied, "No, man, I just discovered Letterman.com. I don't phone, don't send faxes, don't go out, don't pay taxes. Who cares if someday they drag me away? I'm happily addicted to the web."
3. Read the following quotations. Learn them by heart if you can. You might need to look up new words in a dictionary.
Man is still the most extraordinary computer of all. By John F. Kennedy.
A computer does not substitute for judgment any more than a pencil substitutes for literacy. But writing without a pencil is no particular advantage. By Robert S. McNamara.
A computer will do what you tell it to do. But that may be much different from what you had in mind. By Joseph Weizenbaum.
4. Read the following humorous story for fun.
An Illinois man left the snow-filled streets of Chicago for a vacation in Florida. His wife was on a business trip and was planning to meet him there the next day. When he reached his hotel, he decided to send his wife a quick email. Unfortunately, when typing her address, he missed one letter. And his note was directed instead to an elderly preacher's wife whose husband had passed away only the day before. When the grieving widow checked her mail, she took one look at the monitor, let out a piercing scream, and fell to the floor in a dead faint. At the sound, her family rushed into the room and saw this note on the screen. "Dearest wife, just got checked in. Everything prepared for your arrival tomorrow. P.S. Sure is hot down here.